you go. It'll be okay. You got it done. Good job. Good job. Thank you. Good morning. And welcome to worship. I'm so glad you're here today. And we begin with some parish announcements that are about things that are coming up. We have wonderful plans for Christmas Eve. And we have two services at 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock. And I hope you will pick one of those and think the 5 o'clock will be bigger. And if you want to come early or late, it's up to you. But I wanted to tell you that at 5 o'clock we do have a Holy Family who are going to be a tableau for us for Christmas Eve with a little baby who is 8 weeks old. It's going to be Bill and Nancy Ogden's grandson, whose name is Richard William, is going to be our baby Jesus. And his little bit older sister Katie is going to be our angel. So, and his parents will be there with, their parents will be there with them. And what a treasure to have that as our focal point for during communion on Christmas Eve, and beautiful music. I hope you'll pick one of those services and come. And bring whoever's with you. You may say, well, we're going to have company. Well, bring them. Bring them. We'll have a sweet time here, a beautiful service, and it'll be a focal point for your Christmas Eve celebration. The Sunday after that, on December 29th, we are going to have a little different schedule. We're going to have only one service at 10 a.m. and then an activity for children at 11, which is going to be a pizza and movie day. Those details are in your bulletin. You can read those, and please remember that change in schedule and jump into it. And we have other things going on in the life of the church. Beautiful decorations, of course, and holy worship. And we have a lot of opportunities for outreach and for serving. And if you are our guests this morning, we're particularly glad that you are here to be with us today and to worship together. We hope that you'll come back again and again and again. And now let us begin our worship. Our Advent wreath is lighted, and our choir will call us to worship, and then we'll sing hymns, carols together. Let us worship God, the risen Christ. Ah, the Borsi family is lighting all the candles today. That's great.
We are called to prepare the way of the Lord. May the soil of our spirit be tilled and turned,
and fertile, so that we are ready to receive and nourish the gift of His appearing.
Oh, come, O come, Emmanuel.
from the realms of glory, what new light o'er all the earth, ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Shepherds in the field avoiding, watching o'er your flocks by night, God with us is now residing, yonder shines the infant light.
Let us affirm our faith together as we stand. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or even sword? No. In all things, we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. We are sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now, as you let your children come to the front for children's sermon, let us all turn to one another and greet someone you don't know. Maybe you can meet a new friend and welcome them with the peace of Christ. The Lord be with you. Let us greet one another with the love of the Lord. Well, I'm so glad you came to church today for many reasons. Thank you for lighting the candles and doing the reading and for coming for children's sermon this morning. And I have the title this morning about why do we look east? Why do we say we look east? We have hymns about that. We see it in Scripture. People look east. The time is near for the Lord to appear. Tradition has it that when Jesus appears again, he will come from the east. And do you know why that is? Do you have any idea why that is? You'd have to have studied a little bit of physics about the way the earth works to figure that out. Do we have any physics professors in here? No?
Right here.
Oh, yes, we do. Oh, okay, Ben. You know why we look east then, don't you? You know why we look. He's trying to figure it out.
That's a pass.
Think about where the sun rises. When we look for the sunrise in the morning, we look to the east. Why is that? Because the earth rotates from west to east. And when it turns toward the sun doesn't move, right? The sun doesn't move. It stays put. But as the earth turns toward it, the sun appears to rise as if coming from the east. And so because of that, the ancients understood that the sun rose in the east. And so the legend has it that when Jesus returns, he was going to come from the east. And that may be so. If it's so, it's because the earth is rotating and turning that way. And that's how we will see him. That's how we will perceive him. Just the same as we perceive the sun rising in the morning or the moon rising at night. But we have that to look forward to. We celebrate at Christmas time Jesus' coming as a little baby. And when Jesus comes again, it'll be as a king. It'll be as the king and ruler of our lives, and we have that to look forward to. Meanwhile, we get to celebrate the baby in the manger and the glow of the special light on him and the precious love of his family surrounding him, and that is something that we treasure. Family and church family, of course. So, as we celebrate and look forward to celebrating the coming of Jesus at Christmas time and the holy family that will be gathered and displayed here on this altar as we have communion on Christmas Eve, we will look forward to his coming again and again in our hearts as we cherish his love and as we share our love with him. Will you bow with me and let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for your precious gift of coming to be our Savior and Lord, of coming to be our guide and King, coming to hold us close and to let us hold on to you. Help us to hold on to you this Christmas and to watch for your coming again and again so that we may reflect your love and share your love with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks. So we have a mission moment now, and Judy Rudolph is going to share with us about Proyecto Abrigo. Following that, we'll begin with our tithes and offerings, and I'll invite you to be ready for that. Judy, share with us, sister.
Okay. I can do this, I think. I need to say right away that I have not been to Proyecto Abrigo, but I have observed what happens to the people who do go. And they are changed forever by their going to this mission. You know, our mission, we thought, was to build a house and bring faith to the people whose homes we're building. We don't need to do that. They already have a faith, a rich faith. They may live in abject poverty. They may not have clothes or a home or even enough food, but their faith is rich. And those people who go, in my observation, come back with an enriched faith. I'd like to share with you just a moment, a little bit of the history of how Proyecto Abrigo got started. And an abrigo is an overcoat. And it has been loosely translated Project, now I can't think of it, Project Overcoat or Project Shelter. Many years ago, a young Methodist, Mexican Methodist preacher, Jose Luis Portillo, baptized a baby, a very young baby his parents had brought for baptism, because the previous baby they had not been baptized and had literally frozen to death. And so Jose Luis Portillo began to wonder if somehow we couldn't provide better housing than these people had. They lived in whatever they could find in a trash dump. Maybe it was a pallet. Maybe it was corrugated tin that they could use for a roof. Maybe it was large cardboard refrigerator boxes or washing machine boxes. They took whatever they could to make a home. It was a home that had a mud floor, which meant when it rained, it turned into a quagmire. It was a home that maybe had a door covered by a cloth, which meant that the wind could just whistle its way right in. It was a home that had maybe, if they were lucky, corrugated tin for a roof, which again let in a lot of bad weather. It turned out that indeed the plan was that people would come, they would pay for the building materials, and they would also pay their expenses. And they did come. They came from all over. I know in the last trip that Jan Helton took, there was a group from Louisiana who came to build a house. They paid for the building supplies, and they paid for their accommodations. And in about 1 week, under the watchful eye of the maestros, they can build a 12 by 24 foot cinder block structure that has a wooden cement floor and a slightly pitched roof and two frames for windows, real windows, and also for a door. It's work that you do from the first light till the last light. And then as they finish this up, the first meal that the family enjoys in their new home is communion, is the Lord's meal. I look around my house, which is 50 years old, and like anything, including people, that are 50 years old, it could use some work. It could really use some work. But I looked around one day and I thought, you know, shut up, because your living room at 15 by 25 feet, just the living room, could accommodate what the Mexican families think is a palace and have a lot of room to spare, because their new palace is 12 by 24 feet. And my house, though it needs some repairs, has some things that their house doesn't have. By the way, they often build it attached to the home that they had built out of scraps of stuff, so that they have kind of an extra room for storage and for other things. But my house, for one thing, has privacy. And sometimes the people who live in their palace have no privacy, and there are at least 10 people who live in the family. My home has a safe supply of water, running water. Theirs do not. My house has a safe source of electricity, which theirs do not. They sometimes jerry-rig lines from the closest power source, but you know, a short in that power could bring the whole community down. The families do have to meet two requirements. They have to own the property that the house is going to be built on, and someone in the household has to work. And those, if they meet those two requirements, then teams come down. Today a house costs about $3,500. Teams come down and build that house. And the only two things that the maestros do is pour the concrete floor and do the pitched roof, which of course involves hot tar and could be dangerous. So your drop of dollars go toward a trip. We are seriously talking about taking a trip in October when we have fall break. It won't be blisteringly hot as it is if we go in the summer, and it won't be bitterly cold as it sometimes is at Christmas break. If by any chance you haven't finished your Christmas shopping, we have a way that you can buy alternative gifts and give a gift in honor of someone to Proyecto Abrigo. I'm going to do my Christmas shopping as I leave, and I wanted to show you the little things that you can mail to someone to tell them that you have given a donation in their honor for Proyecto Abrigo. If you have finished, those dollars that you drop will go toward, we hope, this mission trip that we take, hopefully take in October. If you'd like to write a check and put in the memo line, Proyecto Abrigo, we will gratefully, gratefully accept that. And, you know, I gave a little mission moment at Thanksgiving and said if you'd like to give yourself an early Christmas giving, a gift, Christmas gift, come and help at Thanksgiving dinner. And so I will say now, if you would like to have your faith deepen, consider seriously going with our team, hopefully in October, and lovingly build a house and build relationships with the people at Proyecto Abrigo. I should say now, what started out as cinder block homes includes two chapels. It includes a school for people to learn trades. It includes a pharmacy, which Jefferson Helton helped to organize. And I'm leaving out something. One thing else that it includes. So it is a thriving community, and we can help to keep it that way. Thank you.
Thank you, Judy. And if you can help with that, jump in, because that's a worthy project. Did you have something to add to that, Joel?
Well,
you've been there.
Sounds like a great project, and I plan to go in October. I do have the blessing of speaking Spanish.
That's handy.
Yeah, it is, especially when things get at all technical. Or the border's a different world. And,
yes.
You know, they told us one time it's not safe, don't come, and now they're saying it's safe enough to come.
Well, good. Well, I know you've been there, and I just wanted to have you pitch in on that. But if you'd like to get involved, speak with Judy or call the church office, and we will get you connected. That is a worthy project, and it is something clear that we can do. We often stick back and say, wish we could do something, and this is something we can do to support Proyecto Abrigo. All right. So the ushers are ready to come and collect up our offerings, and we present them as an act of worship. And all that we have and are is already a gift from God. So let us return a portion of it as an act of worship here in this service, in this congregation. Let's bow together. God, we ask your blessing upon these gifts and upon these givers. May all that we give be given to honor you and to work together for your kingdom. We are grateful for what we are given, and we bring a portion of it back in order to bless others. May it be a blessing, O God. Amen. Thank you.
And now for number 211, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
Thank you.
take your seats. We have several prayers that we want to pay attention to. We want this season to remember those military personnel, men and women who are far from home and without their families and whose families are without them. And so we want to remember them. And we also name the family of Jim Tyler Anderson, Tina Christian, Reverend Brian Dieroff, and Debbie Hood. In addition to those and the other names that are listed here on our continuing prayer list, which includes Harold Coker, it's good to see him here today. And we are glad that we get to worship with you today. In addition, we have the Landers family, Gene and Betty Castleberry, of course, and Walt Parker, who's home now but still struggling. And I would like to also suggest that at this season, we remember our first responders, who will many of them be tied up and not able to be with their families for Christmas, and we want to give thanks for their work and for their care for all of us. We're asked to pray for Randall for some tests, and also for Dennis and Linda Wilkinson as they struggle with his health. All of these are heartfelt concerns, and I know you have others that you would add at any time during the service or during the week. You can use one of our yellow cards or give a call to communicate your special prayer requests that you would like to have in the bulletin or remembered aloud on Sunday morning. Let's bow together and begin our prayers. Holy God, we dare to enter this sanctuary as if we were entering the stable where the Holy Family is gathered. With our hearts in our hands and our voices trembling, we come before you knowing your immense greatness that is invested in the fragile life of that precious tiny babe. Oh God, as we come to Christmas Eve with our company, with our cooking, with our serving, with our families, with our traveling, help us to share in the holiest moments of Christmas. Help us not to be so busy or stressed or late or running that we miss the holy moment that you have in store for us. Oh God, we want a Christmas moment as we fly through this season. Help us to calm ourselves and to open our spirits to receive your spirit, to live in your presence rather than just having you live in our presence. God, for the names that we've called and for all these who we have in our hearts and on our minds, we ask for your grace to surround them, to lift them, to those whom Judy mentioned who struggle with even the most basic resources, a roof and windows and water. Help us to be thankful for what we have while we share our resources to help others have what they need. Oh God, as we come to this season, the tinsel and the lights and the red poinsettias point the way for us, but to what do they point? All of those songs that we hear, the carols and the bells and the shopping and the busy streets, the city sidewalks and busy sidewalks, help us to find our holy moments, oh God. And we know that they're all around, but sometimes our hearts are not quiet enough to encounter those moments. Slow us down. Bring us to the altar. Bring us to the act of solemn and holy worship on Christmas Eve with the image of a precious little child that represents for us Jesus, the light of the world. Oh Lord, open our eyes, open our ears, open our arms, and above all, open our minds and our hearts to receive the Christ child, Emmanuel, God with us. We pray in the way that the grown-up Jesus teaches us to pray together with words like these. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Psalms. Psalm 80, verses 1 through 7, and 17 and 19, through 19. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God, let your face shine, that we may be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us the scorn of our neighbors, our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. But let your hand be upon the one at your right hand, the one whom you made strong for yourself. Then we will never turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call on your name. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. The word of God for the people of God.
From Matthew, the first chapter, 18 through 25, we see some of the response to this prophetic reading that Jim shared from the psalm. Matthew 1, beginning with verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ took place. When Mary, his mother, was engaged to Joseph before they were married, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man. Because he didn't want to humiliate her, he decided to call off their engagement quietly. As he was thinking about this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because the child she carries was conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now all of this took place so that what the Lord had spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. Look, says the prophet, a virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. When Joseph woke from his dream, he did just as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have relations with her until she gave birth to a son. And Joseph called him Jesus. This, brothers and sisters, the word of the Lord for the people of faith. Thanks be to God. Why do we look east? People look east, the hymn says, as though Jesus is coming from the east. And well, as I shared with the children a few moments ago, I think that's an earthbound understanding of a larger truth. It's because of the rotation of the earth that things tend to appear from the east. And it's said in Scripture over and over again, look east for the rising of the sun, or look east for the return of the Son of Man. Jesus, when he comes again to finally redeem his church, will come, at least as our perspective understands it, from the east. So that's why we have a hymn that says, people look east. And it's why we talk about the Star of the East, the great Christmas hymn that you've heard, because everything comes from that direction. It's a big responsibility to name a child. To name a child Jesus, Yeshua, the Lord. Our names are important to us, though, all of us. When we have our children, it's a big responsibility to name them. Because when we do that, they're kind of stuck with it, you know, for the rest of their lives. It's a big deal. You've heard children on the playgrounds and in your homes, perhaps, calling each other names. They make up their own names. But I'm talking about their real names. And those are the names that matter. What we call them, what we call forth from them, and what we expect from them. We can be amused by somebody's unfortunate name, maybe one chosen by a parent who failed to think about the long-term effects of it. A boy named Sue, as the song says. Not that there's anything wrong with the name Sue, but most boys aren't named that. But most of us try to be more sensitive than that and to choose names that have something good to say about the individual. Names that'll wear well enough to last a lifetime and not embarrass the family. So many of us are named after others who have gone before us, in whose footsteps we walk, and on whose shoulders we are carried. Jesus, for example, it wasn't a new name. Others were named Jesus or Yesu or Jesus, whatever language you say it in. Yeshua, it was in Hebrew, as it more likely was said there. It was the name of a prophet, an ancient prophet, ancient even at the time of Jesus, who we know as Joshua. It's the same name. And it's a profound and significant name. It means Savior. Names carry messages, don't they? The 8th century prophet Isaiah gave us his son's names, which were extensions of the message that he wanted the nation to hear. He called his elder son Sheherjashub. It means a remnant shall return. So everywhere that son's name was pronounced, it spoke of the confidence of the people of Israel and of the ultimate return of at least a remnant of them. A remnant of the Jews to Palestine from their Babylonian exile. There were other such names that meant something. Maybe such names as that were not very fair to the children because they're really hard to learn to spell. I can imagine them wincing under the very statement of their names, probably wishing that Dad had called them something a little bit more ordinary. But all names have sometimes been used to signify some life-changing event in one's life. At least in Scripture, that seems to be true. You remember that Abram and Sarai were renamed by the Lord as Sarah and Abraham. Abraham meaning the father of many nations, and Sarah to commemorate the covenant that the Lord established with Abraham. And with the promise that Sarah would bear a son. In the Newer Testament, Saul became Paul. Now, those aren't such uncommon names, but it's still a change in names. And the significance of that life-changing conversion that he experienced on the road to Damascus. Jesus knew Simon and called Simon as a disciple. But later began to call him Petros or Peter because it means the rock. And Jesus saw in Peter the strength of a stone. Later he would say to him, Simon, you are now called Petros, and upon this rock I will build my church. Later, when Peter showed signs of weakness, Jesus sometimes reverted to calling him Simon again, not so much a rock anymore. The significance of that, I'm sure the other disciples did not fail to notice. But in the missionary days, of the 19th and 20th centuries. It was not uncommon for Christian converts to adopt a new name that was significant of their faith. In our own day, we do that with confirmation classes and students. We invite our young ones to claim a new name. It's popular in other faith traditions as well, like in Islam, Cassius Clay becomes Muhammad Ali. And if you remember, Lew Alcindor became Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Wow. Names are important because names mean something. We may ask, what's in a name? And mostly the answer is there is plenty in the name. It is something to remember you by. It is something to live up to. In the reading for today, the ancient prophet predicts the year of the Lord's favor, which, among other things that will happen, the people will be called by a new name. What we hear is joyful poetry celebrating the relationship between Yahweh and His people in a new age in which the glory of God will transform the life and the character of the people. It goes like this. You shall become a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be known as forsaken, and your land no more be termed and named desolate, but you shall be called, My delight is in her, and your land called claimed and protected. Actually, in the text it says your land will be called married. For the Lord delights in you. That's Isaiah 62. Those words, forsaken and desolate, are written as names, you see. What a terrible thing it would be to be named forsaken. Can't even imagine it. Imagine that kind of hopelessness, hearing such good news as this. You shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will give you. You shall become a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, for the Lord delights in you. That prophecy from Isaiah 64, it might seem too good to be true. But that kind of good news is central to our faith. Nobody is forsaken. Nobody. At least not by God. So our very faith requires of us that the desolation in our land must change. We are to proclaim the love of God and to relieve the injustice that holds people as captives and give them a new name, a new identity, to bring them into the church and to help them claim the name of Jesus. That's our job in every context of the church. What about the name Christian? I love that word because it's got two I's in it. The word Christian, in the first half of the word, in Christ, there is an I in Christ. That's biblical. We all should find ourselves in Christ. And in the suffix of the word, there is an I following Christ. The I-A-N part. Two I's in Christian. Let's claim that and live it out by helping others find their name and their place in Christ. The call of faith is not just to gain passage to another world, of course, but to live as claimed and holy and precious people of God in the present. To be called and to call others by a new name, child of God. and to grow toward that new name ourselves. Not all of those who feel forsaken and desolate will hear the hope that is offered to them in Christ. At least not these days. But some will. And it may be up to us to reach others and to speak that name, to give someone a new name, and to point the way to the name of Jesus. So what's in a name? An awful lot. Names help us to handle our reality. Names help us to understand and identify and remember not just things, but people. The writer to the Ephesians, the Christians there at Ephesus, says that the name of Jesus Christ is above every name, not only in this age, but in the age to come. Jesus is Lord. Paul advised his fellow Christians to live in such a way that whatever they said or did would be done in the name of Jesus. So, what's in a name? Everything. For Christians, the name of Jesus identifies the center of all meaning and love through Jesus. For Christians, the name of Jesus, the Lord, helps us to understand how God expresses His love for us, especially at this time of giving and of waiting and watching with hope. For Christians, the name of Jesus helps us remember that God is still with us in all His power to save. He said, Jesus did, remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. So we live naming the name of names. King of kings, Lord of lords, that's what we call Him. And knowing His name gives us direction to go forward with confidence and hope. And it gives us something to share. Let's go. If today is a day for you to come to Christ, to come to faith, if this Christmas moment or any of the other moments, Christmas moments of this season bring you to your knees, claim His name. Claim Him as yours. Remember that Joseph called Him Jesus. Joseph gave Him that name. But that name is given to us that we might take Him with us and that we might be filled with Him and influenced by Him. If today is a time for you to turn and trust in this Jesus, this Yeshua, then I invite you to do that in your own prayers and to share it with someone. Share it with your pastor, if you will. And let us all celebrate the coming of Christ and our coming to Christ this Christmas and beyond. If there's someone that you can invite to come to this table, this altar, this Christmas, I hope you will invite them to the holy moments that we will share at 5 o'clock especially, and also at 7 on Christmas Eve. If today is a day for you to come to Christ or to faith or to join this congregation of believers, I invite you to come to the altar as we stand as we are able and sing this hymn, People Look East. Tyler?
People look east, the time is near of the crowning of the year. Make your house fair as you are able. Trim the hearth and set the table. People look in. Ah, the guest is on the way. Girls, be glad, the earth is bare. One more your seed is planted there. Give up your strength, the seed, to nourish, that in course the flower may flourish. We'll look east and sing today. Love, the guest is on the way. Stars keep the watch when night is dim. One more light the bowl shall brim, shining beyond the frosty weather, bright as on the moon together. Look east and today, love, the star is on the way. Angels announce with shouts of mirth him who brings new life to earth. Set every peak and valley humming with the word, Lord is coming. People look east, love, the Lord is on the way.
As we prepare to go out into the world led by the light and the life of Christ, I pray that you will go and make a difference. Maybe there's a dark corner that you can light this day, this Monday, this week, as you go to your places of work and play. Let us each recognize that we are bearers of the light of Christ, the light of the world. See you Christmas Eve. Amen.